As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worth of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. So, when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives on his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to the apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son, the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then you will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Noreto. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. That's where we are this morning. What does it take? What does it take to stay healthy? That's a question I've been considering a bit more as I move up the ages. When I was younger, I kind of felt like I didn't really think about it. I kind of took health for granted, but as time passes, I see more and more clearly that it is not something to take for granted. The decisions I make today about eating and exercising, sleeping, things like this, not only impact today, but they impact my future as they build on each other day by day for good or for bad. Of course, there are other factors as well. There's things I can't control. There's my genes and the air quality and viruses and all the other things. But one thing is for sure, in this broken world, it takes thought, it takes effort to keep ourselves healthy. If we're going to keep healthy for the long term. If all we ever do is sit on the couch all day eating crisp sandwiches and Cadbury's and drinking Monsters, eventually that kind of thing will catch up to us. If we want to keep our body healthy, if we want to keep ourselves fit and strong, it's going to take effort. Now, you might be wondering why I'm talking about health and fitness in church. But there is a reason. Because today's passage that we're looking at describes the church, it describes God's people as a body. It says the body of Christ, which is a description that's used actually several times across the New Testament. And it tells us a lot about who we are and how we function as a church, as the people of God. Just like it takes thought and effort to keep our physical bodies healthy here on earth, actually the same is true of the body of Christ. So this morning, let's think about what it means for us and as we look towards establishing ourselves as a local church, a local body here in Carrigtwohill. How can we be a healthy, how can we be a growing, maturing body of believers? Well, in these verses in Ephesians 4, what we're going to look at this morning, we'll see our unity as the church, as the body of Christ. But we'll also see the diversity within the church. And then we'll look at our destiny, where we're headed, what are we growing towards? And finally, where the power of our growth comes from. So that's where we're going this morning. But we'll start by considering our unity as the body of Christ. We see that in verses 3 to 6. Verse 3, Paul says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit," and he goes on. But I think one of the reasons the Bible uses this image of the church as the body of Christ is to really drive this point home to us. That we are very much united. Your body has many different parts, but they're all parts of one whole. In fact, your body parts don't even work or make sense without the whole. So we need to see that as believers in Jesus, we're not just a bunch of individual free agents, each operating on our own power, each operating for our own purposes. No, that's not how this works. It can be hard, I think, for us to get our heads around this fully because we live in such an extremely individualistic age. An age that tells me I must first look after myself. I must not be dependent on anyone else. I must not let anyone else get in the way of my personal dreams and desires. It's a me first culture. That's how our world works. But that is not to be how the world, how the church works. Look what Paul says in verse 3. He says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit." Now notice there, he says keep. He does not say create the unity of the Spirit. We do not create the unity that we have in the church. Our unity in Christ is already built in. It's not our job to invent it. It is not even our job to add to it. Paul says we just keep. We live out what is already there. And why is it there? Well, he tells us in verses 4 to 6. He says there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So in other words, we are already united in literally everything that matters most. We are together, part of the same one body of Christ. We share the presence and power of the same one Holy Spirit at work in our lives. We all have the same one hope for the future, he says, a hope that lasts forever. We have the same one Lord, verse 5. We are not each our own lords. We are all under the authority of one Lord, Jesus Christ. We direct our lives according to his commands, not according to our own desires. So we trust him. We come to him by the same one faith, not by our ability, not by our goodness, not by our achievements. We come with the same need for salvation, and we all receive that salvation the same way. By trusting Jesus to provide it through his death and resurrection in our place. And as a symbol of our one faith, we share one baptism, he says. And we worship one God who is over all and through all and in all. So as God's people, we don't need to unify ourselves. We need to see that we are already united in everything that matters. because we are united to Christ. All of these unifying realities flow out of his work for us, his death and his resurrection. When we trust in Christ, we die with him to our sin. We are raised with him to his new life that he provides. We are grafted into him like a branch is grafted into the vine, Jesus said. So we draw our life from Jesus. We are united to him. And if this morning you have not put your trust in Jesus, then I urge you to do so and find the life that he gives. Find the forgiveness that only he can give. But if you are trusting in Jesus this morning, then you are united to Christ. And if we are each united to Christ individually, then that means that we are united to each other as well. It's not our job to create this unity. We already have it in Christ. It is our job to live it out and express it. Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because sometimes we can forget. Sometimes we can get distracted by our differences. Maybe by comparing ourselves with each other. But our unity is not built. It is not created by how similar we are. And it is not threatened by how different we are. If we're in Christ, our unity is created by the one God who made us, the one Savior who saved us, the one Spirit who dwells in all the people of God. We are united. Whether we feel that way all the time is actually not the point. It's still true, and we need to see it. And even if we don't feel it all the time, we need to act on that truth of our shared unity as the one body of Christ. That's who we are. But there is more to the story, because Paul goes on. Even though a body is fundamentally one whole, one unity, that does not make every part of the body the same, not even close, which is Paul's next point. So let's consider the diversity within the church. We see this in verses 7 to 12 and also 16. You think about your body. I mean, if you just even look at your hands are very different from your ears. They serve a very different purpose. Your heart is different again, and your ribs. And I mean, your body is a huge combination of all different kinds of parts, of all different kinds of shapes and sizes and textures and functions. Paul draws this out in a lot more detail in 1 Corinthians 12. If you keep your finger in Ephesians, I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 12. It's important. It's a bit of a long section. It's just a little bit to the left of Ephesians. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. He applies this idea that there is one body, but there is diversity within the body, just like our own bodies. And that's important for us to remember. So 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, and this is very important, verse 18, he says, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. So within the church, we are fundamentally united, but that does not mean that we are the same. In fact, we should not be the same. We are not meant to all look the same. We are not meant to all do the same things any more than the various parts of the body are all supposed to see or all meant to pump blood. So what this means for us, if we want our body of Christ here to be healthy, our local church in Carrigtwohill, we need to recognize all the various different gifts that God places within his body. And each of us must use whatever gifts God has given to serve in the unique ways that God has equipped us for the good of everyone. We must recognize and honor the different gifts, the different roles of others. God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. That means God put you here in this place at this time for a reason. If you are trusting in Christ, you are part of his body. He has placed you where he wants you to be. He has equipped you with gifts that he gave you for the sake of his people, his body. So going back to Ephesians 4, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, that Jesus came to earth and then he ascended up to heaven. There's in verses 9 and 10. He talks about his position as King and Savior who fills the whole universe. But he says there in verse 8, he says he gives gifts to his people. And these gifts have a purpose for building up the body of Christ. Paul specifically mentions a few gifts in verse 11. He talks about apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Now, these are specific gifts that he says are given for the purpose of equipping his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's verse 12. But notice there, who is doing the works of service? Well, everyone is. Everyone is. There's a few gifts there that he lists out that are used to equip others to serve well. But actually, everyone is using their gifts, their works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Everyone is using whatever gifts they have for the good of all. And we have other places in Scripture where many other different kinds of gifts that God gives his people are listed. For example, Paul says in Romans 12, he says, if your gift is prophesying, prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I've already seen some of these gifts being displayed wonderfully within this group, these people here in this room. We could add many more gifts to this list, but the point is that each of us who belong to Christ have been given gifts by his grace for the good of the whole body. Jesus did not give all of the gifts to any one person. He distributes them across the body as he sees fit. He does this in part so that we will depend on each other and depend on him. Every part of the body has a unique purpose that the whole body needs. Some of those gifts are noticeable up front. Others are informal behind the scenes, but all of them are necessary. All of them are needed. Paul said in Corinthians, he said, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We need each other. We need the gifts that God has given his people. Remember who gave them. Jesus himself is the one who gave these gifts. So we dare not look down on or ignore anyone or any gift that Jesus has given for our good. That would be an insult to Jesus himself, but also we'd only just hurt ourselves and rob ourselves of the good that Jesus intended for us to receive from each part of the body. Yes, so we must recognize our need for each other. But also, each of us needs to use the gifts Jesus has given us and function in the body, in the place that God made for us. If one of the parts of your body just quits, the whole body is going to suffer because of that. Same in the body of Christ. Jesus has distributed gifts of grace to you. He has distributed gifts of grace to me. He didn't mean for us to sit on them. He meant for us to use whatever gifts we have for the building up of his body. And also, this means that we use our gifts for a purpose. Not for our own sake, but for the good of the body. See, the body of Christ is not a place for competition. We're all part of the same body. Do you know what happens in your body when some cells start working only for their own good, using the resources of the body to make themselves as big as possible? Do you know what we call that? That's cancer. So when we compete with each other in the body of Christ for our own glory, to make ourselves as great as possible, that is like cancer within the body of Christ. Jesus did not give us these gifts to make us the biggest, most impressive part of the body that there is. They are given for the good of the whole body. Well, that shapes how we serve each other. Because the goal of our service is not to build ourselves up, it is to build up the whole body of Christ. When the whole body functions in a healthy way, we're all built up. We all become more healthy. We all benefit from that. So we do benefit individually. But we benefit most when we work not for ourselves first, but for the good of the whole body. And that sounds great, but honestly, this goes against our current culture that we live in. To actually make real decisions that will cost you personally in time and effort or money or emotional energy, not for your own sake, but for the sake of building up others in the body of Christ. There is a real cost to that. And it's something that the world around us may not understand. But this is what Jesus, the head of our body, did for us. He's the one who said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And that's not just what he said, that's what he did. And we are his body. We're the body of Christ. We're his hands and feet in the world. The way we grow strong and healthy is to serve one another and the world around us, like Jesus has served us in the strength that he provides. We'll think a bit more about how we grow in a minute, but first, let's consider, what are we growing towards? What are we building towards to become? We need to know that to be able to build well, to be able to grow well. So we've looked at the unity of the body, the diversity of the body and the different gifts. Let's consider our destiny, where we are growing to be, what we are becoming, the destiny of the church. We see this in verses 13 to 15. Paul says we serve one another, in verse 12 actually, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. There it is. Our goal as the body of Christ is to become like Christ, our head. To be exactly what he created us to be, not only individually, but all together as his body. Verse 13 says we work towards attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I mean, wow, what a phrase. What a thing to attain to. We grow closer and closer to Christ until we are absolutely filled in every way with him, overflowing with his love, his power, his peace, his joy and patience and righteousness and everything that he is, because we are full of him. Christ is the head. Everything flows from him and everything flows to him. We're the body of Christ after all. So to be healthy and mature and growing, we must be connected to Christ and growing to become like him, filled with his fullness. Verse 13 says that this growth will result in us reaching unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So isn't that interesting? We start from unity, as we already looked at. It's built in. It's our identity. It's who we are. We are united in Christ. We start from that unity. But what are we growing towards? Paul says unity in the faith and knowledge of Jesus. In other words, our growth to maturity really is a process of expressing more and more day by day the reality of who we already are in Christ. We're not starting as one thing and growing into something totally different. I mean, if you think about it, a child is the same person when they grow up as they are when they're an infant. I've changed a little bit since I was a baby. I didn't have a beard back then. But I'm still me. I'm still the same person. I still have the same identity. We're still the same body as we mature. And in the body of Christ, we start by being united to Christ. And we grow to become more and more like Christ, filled with his fullness. But our identity is the same in Christ. We're just maturing and growing to express the fullness of that identity more and more. That's what it means to grow in the body of Christ. That's what it means to mature. And he says in verse 14 that as we grow and mature, we become more steady, more secure, more solid. He says, verse 14, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. The destiny of the church is to become like Christ, our head. But we are already the body of Christ if we're trusting in him. But right now, sometimes we're the body of Christ. We're like infants tossed about by various wrong ideas, deceptive voices, even by our own sin. So we need to serve one another using the gifts that God has supplied to us in verse 12 to build each other up in the body of Christ to be what God made us to be. And we also need, verse 15 says, to speak the truth in love to one another. To counter these lies that can throw us off track. To remind ourselves, to remind each other of the truth of who we are in Christ. To constantly redirect our minds and our hearts, helping each other to refocus on Christ. We need to grow as Christ's body. We're not what we will be. But verse 16 shows us where the power of our growth really comes from. So let's look at the power of our growth in the church. We've seen our unity, our diversity, our destiny to be a mature body filled with the fullness of Christ. But now let's finish with how do we get there? Where is the power of our growth? Where does that come from? Verse 16 says, from him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. How do we grow? Our growth comes from him. And that makes sense. He's the head. A body without a head won't grow. As a church, if we stop depending on Jesus, then growth will be impossible. We can't become like him without him. All of our growth comes from Christ, from his provision, from his strength, from his salvation, from his power at work through his Spirit, through his word, and even through the gifts of grace that he's distributed among us so that we use to serve one another. He is the truth that we speak to one another. All of this is from Christ. But what do we do in this? I mean, do we just sit back and let him work away? No. Look at verse 16 again. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So all of it comes from him. But look, the body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Those are the parts of the body that Jesus purposefully put in their various places. Those ligaments are us, his people, placed exactly where Jesus wanted us to be with the gifts that he gave us specifically so that we could serve the body and build it up, so that the body could grow and build itself up in love as each part does its work. So the body is building itself, not apart from Christ, but through the strength that he provides, with the gifts that he provides, we build with his power, his grace, as each part does the job God gave us to do. And notice, Paul says here specifically that this building must be done in love. Just like we speak the truth, in love. Because remember whose body this is. This is the body of Christ. And the Bible says love is absolutely fundamental to who God is, to who Jesus is. And so if we're doing anything in the body of Christ, the love of Christ has to be the foundation. How do we live all of this out today in the weeks and months and years ahead as we go forward to become a church in Kirkcaldy? Well, it means we must recognize, we must relate to each other on the basis, on the foundation of our unity in Jesus that he won for us. We must make every effort to keep that unity, Paul says. We need to see each other as members of the same body. That means we are connected. Our destiny is connected. My growth is linked to your growth. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. This is not a competition. This is not an individual race. If we want to be a healthy church, we must grow together. And to do that, we must appreciate and put to use all the various different gifts that God has distributed among us. We're not going to grow by all trying to be the same. We'll grow by all working in our own unique ways towards the same goal, towards Jesus himself, towards maturity in him. Every part has a place. Every part has a reason. But all of it comes from Christ, who gave each gift by his grace and powers each gift by his spirit. He's the one who created his body and put each of us in just the place where he wants us to be. But he's our head. He's our provider, our savior. All of our serving, all of our speaking the truth, all of our building up each other comes from him, and it leads towards Christ. He's the beginning and the end, so that we can no longer be infants, but become the mature body of Christ, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's what we want to do as a church. That's how we want to grow. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much for bringing us to yourself, for uniting us to yourself, Lord. At such a great cost to yourself that you came to take our sin on yourself and to give us your righteousness, to give us your life, to unite us to Christ. Lord, we thank you for this unimaginable gift, and we thank you for the unity that it gives us together as your people. We thank you that on top of this wonderful gift of salvation, you have distributed freely gifts of your grace to your body, to power us to serve one another, to express to each other the love that you have for your church. Lord, we pray that you would give us your power by your spirit to do this well, to keep the unity in the bonds of peace, Lord. Help us to build one another up as your people so that we will attain to the full measure of the fullness of Christ, so that we will be your mature body expressing who you are well to each other and to this place, Lord. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.